Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes of a day with life where Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for June 27th, 2019, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul writes, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet at least I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who examine me. Do we not have a right to eat and to drink? Do we not have a right to take along a wife who is a believer, as the rest of the apostles do, and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or are Barnabas and I the only ones who have no right to be spared from manual labor? What soldier ever serves at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat some of its fruit? Or who takes care of a flock and does not drink milk from the flock? Am I saying this just from a human point of view? Doesn't the law also say this? Yes, it is written in the law of Moses, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain.' Is God really concerned about oxen, or does he say this entirely for our sake? Yes, it was written for our sake, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher ought to thresh in hope of getting a share. If we sowed spiritual seed for your good, is it too much if we reap material benefits from you? If others have some right to make this claim on you, don't we even more? But we did not use this right. Instead, we endure everything so as to not cause any hindrance for the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who work in the temple eat food from the temple, and those who attend to the altar receive a portion from what is on the altar? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who preach the gospel are to receive their living from the gospel, but I have used none of these things." We'll pause there for today and take the second half of 1 Corinthians 9 tomorrow. So last chapter, Paul really introduced the theme and the idea of Christian freedom, that Christian freedom acts in love, and that Christian freedom acts for the good of others. And then chapter 9 here, he takes up the question of, is he free to receive compensation for his preaching? And is he free to have the Corinthians support him in his ministry? And he begins with a number of questions, but I think perhaps in the background is the ongoing understanding that these people in Corinth don't have their heads in the right place. They, even back to chapter 1, chapter 2, they talk about, you know, the divisions in the church as though whoever it was who brought the gospel to them makes them a better or a worse Christian, a greater or lesser Christian. Their head isn't in the right place. And so when Paul talks to them here, he begins with some opening questions, like rhetorical questions, that very obviously have an answer. First of all, the first set of questions in verse 1, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? And what he says here is that obviously, the Corinthian church is proof of his apostleship. They're all believers because God used Paul to bring the gospel of Jesus to them. And so, yes, he is an apostle, and yes, he is all these things. And this entire opening section really, really is a commentary on the last verse of chapter 8, verse 13. "Therefore, if food causes my brother to sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I do not cause my brother to sin." And in these first verses of chapter 9, Paul says that he is as free as anybody, and he has rights of a special kind of apostle, authenticated by his own history. He had seen Jesus, and he'll get to that again in chapter 15. And by the existence of the apostolic church which his ministry had produced. And so Paul says, yes, he is free, and he is free to do something or not do something, but before we talk about freedom in this regard, we have to first talk about the rights of this apostle whom God has committed into the holy ministry, and this apostle who has the right to support from the congregation. And Paul demonstrates that right based on some occupations in ordinary life. Consider verse 7 when Paul says this, What soldier ever serves at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat some of its fruit? Or who takes care of a flock and does not drink milk from the flock? Three different and separate examples of how people in everyday life and everyday occupations are supported from the occupation that they undertake, and not just from drawing a paycheck from it, but that, you know, the soldier is compensated for his time. He's not doing it just because he has nothing better to do. The person who is dressing the vines has a palate for wine, and he enjoys some of that. And the person who is tending a flock makes sure, you know, has some of the milk from the flock. It's Paul's saying this is normal, everyday kind of stuff. This should make sense. But verse 8, am I saying this just from a human point of view? Not just from a human point of view, but, oh, by the way, God said this: you shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. God doesn't care that much about an ox, Paul is saying. But he does care about his ministers, that those who would be serving in capacity would receive their living from that capacity. Paul says it was written for our hope. But overall, verse 12, if others have some right to make this claim on you, don't we have even more? But we did not use this right. Instead, we endure everything so as to not cause any hindrance for the gospel of Christ. And he comes around to that same idea of freedom that we just talked about in the last chapter, that we use our freedom in such a way that we don't put up stumbling blocks in front of others, and we do all we can to speak to our freedom, to act in a way that reinforces the freedom that we have, and to use our freedom so that we don't cause others to fall into sin or to stumble in their faith. And so Paul says, oh, by the way, let's talk about this in a religious context. Do you not know that those who do the work in the temple eat fruit from the temple, and those who attend to the altar receive a portion of what is on the altar? And Paul had often compared his ministry to the priestly work of sharing the gospel of Christ, especially in 2 Corinthians. We'll see that even more clearly around chapter 3 or 4, I believe. And what he's talking about here, verse 14, in the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel are to receive their living from the gospel. And so Paul says, when we talk about Christian freedom, that he is demonstrating his use of Christian freedom for them. Because it's in context of chapter 8 and chapter 9, chapter 10, it's like a unit together. Paul says, when we talk about Christian freedom, consider me as an example, that he as an apostle, he as a public minister of the word, has every access to and every right to support from them, both from a worldly perspective, because, you know, look at the farmer, the shepherd, the soldier, and from a spiritual perspective, consider the ox who is treading out the grain, and as well as among all the other apostles, consider, you know, Simon Peter bringing his wife along and the congregation supporting the both of them in their daily living. And Paul says, in Christian freedom, he had chosen to refrain from receiving some compensation from the congregation. Instead, he and Barnabas worked manual labor. Paul was a tent maker by trade. Now, did he have the right to support from the congregation? Absolutely. And he's, even though his example is very fine, the point that he's making is that Christian freedom is used in service to others. So even though he has the right, he has also the freedom to refrain from drawing a paycheck from the congregation. So with all that in mind, and it gets a little bit more in depth, and he takes a slightly different direction in tomorrow's Bible reading, but with all that in mind, what are we to learn from this? Well, first of all, that all of us have been called into the same ministry. We have been called to serve as priests and God's chosen people. We have called to glorify God in what we do and what we say, and to those to whom we say it. But some of us, you know, like your pastor, you've called me here to serve you publicly, to exercise the keys, that is, to declare forgiveness and non-forgiveness on your behalf, to publicly preach the word and administer the sacraments. And it's a privilege that I obviously consider a very high privilege. especially considering what Paul says here. And it's a wonderful thing. And the fellowship of God's church is encouraged all around when a pastor serves faithfully and the congregation supports faithfully so that the pastor, and this has been the case everywhere I've served, and here at Resurrection, no less, when the church in such love and care supports their pastor, that really frees up the mind and the heart to serve wholeheartedly in every way. And it really makes the ministry a joy. Not that it wouldn't be a joy otherwise, but I guess all I have to say is thank you. Thank you for your service to the Lord as you serve me. And may my service to the Lord as I serve you continue to be a blessing to both of us. You can find us Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. You can also find us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. or check us out on YouTube. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.